Far across the land and sea, Utu, Utu B, Aguna. 5,000 miles away, a few Arsenal Bangalore fans come together to discuss all things Arsenal. Welcome to the Bangalore Gooners podcast. Hey guys, welcome to the third episode of the Bangalore Gooners podcast. We have Vivek, Jomi and Vinay with us today. We're gonna do a quick squad review. It's gonna be a 2 minute at the most review of each player. We'll take turns to discuss on how they've performed this season when they've got the chance, and whether or not we should be holding on to them next season. All right, so we will start with the goalkeepers. Vinay, you want to talk about Leno?
Sure, Anjan, and hi, guys. Yes, Bernd Leno, my 2 minutes or lesser than that probably, has kept us in the season, has been excellent, but has followed the way most Premier League Arsenal goalkeepers have been. He's very good as a shot stopper, still does not command the box. Not sure about the aerial powers that he has, but he is someone who is at least talking, someone who does tell his defenders what to do. So he is someone that, as I told, who has kept us in the hunt at least to where we are, or else we could have probably been worse. So if I were to rate him on a scale of 10, I'm probably going to arrive at about 6.5, 7. And to your question about next season, of course he does.
A quick question on Leno. Do you think his problems are somewhat because of the playing from the back style?
I think he's tried to model himself on a lot of the German goalkeepers. Neuer, Ter Stegen, and Co. So the thing is, that's a natural talent, playing the sweeper keeper or trying to play from the back. And the defenders need to be well equipped to do that, right? I think Arsenal goalkeepers a lot of times in the recent years have been rated low simply because the defense does not shore up for them. So I think it's probably got to do with his aerial ability. I don't think so he's as good as we were hoping for. Simply because I think we have been exploited too often. The defense, goalkeeper is a part of the defense, and when the defense sucks, the goalkeeper also gets the blame. So I think he does have his issues. Playing from the back could be one, but I would not hold him accountable simply because I don't think so any of the current four first choice defense that we have are capable to do that.
All right, cool. So Leno stays. You might also have to talk about Emi Martinez as well.
I think he's been unfairly treated, and he's been very loyal to the club. Very honestly, I think he would have quite easily made a number one at a mid-level or a mid-table team. But I think he has stuck on, and we are lucky that he has stuck on, because getting a number two choice goalkeepers who can step in at any time is a little bit tough. He is going to be that for us. He will never be a number one for us. So I would say, again, if the question again remains, does he stay or does he leave? It's his choice, honestly. The club would want him to continue because it's a thankless job. But overall, still, I'm rating him above average again, around 6 maybe for the season. He has taken his chances, that's all. He will hardly get chances.
All right, cool. So we will move on to the central defenders. David Luiz, Jomi, your thoughts on him?
He can be a squad player. I don't know if he is good enough to start games. The problem with David Luiz is I'm not sure if he even knows where he has to play. I don't know if defense is something that he... it's something that he's aspired to do throughout his career. But the thing is, those through passes or those long-range shots, I mean, it could eventually end up in a goal. And it's how you use him. So As a player, I don't think he becomes a team player, or because he lacks a lot of qualities that might not work for that 11 players on the pitch. But if he's used well, I think he can supplement the team, and in games where we don't have to take a lot of chances. He's decent, but not that great. So that's where I would rate David Lewis. So he can be in the squad. You know that final verdict, I think it'll take a season more to understand. So when we win, we give credit, but then whenever we've lost, it's all because of the defense. So I mean, irrespective of who stays in that defense on that day, the day we lose, we've seen different players being used, and all these different players have ended up leaking goals, and it could be David Lewis day one day, it could be someone else in that on that day. So
I mean, quick analysis or something on him. He has been decent after Arteta took over. So is it something to do with the manager or the
we
style
haven't
play?
played a lot of big games against under Arteta. So let's wait and see. See, Arteta's,
Come again? I mean, things have looked,
I
sorry.
mean, so since we play that positive football, right, things look a lot positive. And I think the first podcast when we did, when we talked about Arteta, right? So that's one thing that everybody confirms, that we are playing a positive style of football. So that is what a lot of fans wanted to see. And because we play that style of football, we tend to assume that these players are actually doing a better job. It's just that we've changed the style of playing. We still yet to see results, or we yet to see a lot of games, and then give a final verdict on where we actually stand with these players. So for now, I don't think he's changed under Arteta a lot.
Okay, moving on. So I will have a quick review on Mustafi, controversial a name, I believe. Yeah, I mean, so listen, I think he has been, I mean, there have been very glaring mistakes that he has, committed. And in any other line of work, I think fired would be the right word to use. But we have persisted with him. He may have shown, some sort of improvement in some of the games. Maybe because we were much more organized as a team. And I mean, even in some of those games, I think he had one or two mistakes in him. So I don't think with other center backs stepping in or being brought in, I don't think I see a future for him here. I think it's fair for both parties to just move on.
I don't think I see any change in him after Arteta has joined as a player. I mean, our game style has changed, and because of that, things look a little positive. But I don't think he has changed under Arteta.
I think you've been very nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to have a conservative review. All right, we'll move on. Rob Holding, Vinay, your thoughts?
Hasn't played much, so it's tough. Again, stay or leave, stay. There is the obvious factor of being English. Plus, he did look all right. I mean, so some of his best games have actually been in big games. He reminds you of one of those who turns up for the big games and ends up being a little bit lesser or fairly average in the other games. Maybe could be the concentration levels. That's a problem. It's a mental thing for him. I think he has got the attributes of being a good defender. So hardly played. Injuries have plagued him too much. So rating him on this season makes no sense. But yes, stay or leave, he stays.
Fair enough. Another injury candidate. Hope he recovers soon. Callum Chambers. Vivek, you wanna fill in on him?
Yeah, so
Chambers, so he seemed to finally be getting in the groove of things, at least in terms of appearances. But then he's gone and done himself again with an ACL. So it's unfortunate. He's gone out on a long loan. He's come back. And under Arteta, maybe he would have had a few more chances because he is decent on the ball. Maybe we might have seen him feature a little more than, let's say, Mustafi. But unfortunately, he's lost that opportunity. I don't think we can sell him. If given an option to sell, I think we should. But seeing how he's on the injury list, I don't see how we can sell him. He's an English player. He's young. He might have a decent future ahead of him. He could be a player that could boost a defense of any team in the bottom nine, bottom eight. So he could have gotten us a handsome fee of, let's say, 15 million. But yeah, I think we will have to ride out one more season with him purely because he is injured right now.
Just one thing on Chambers. I don't think so he can play right back. If we are looking to have him here, he continues playing centre back.
He's lost the pace that we saw him at when he was at Southampton. He was incredible for us against us. And I'm sure that's the only reason we bought him. But yeah.
So it's either centre back or even centre midfield, but no chance of a right back.
Yeah. True. Which is why I think we should sell, but I don't think we can. He's injured. There's no one that's going to buy him. All right. Wishing him a good recovery. Moving on. Socrates, Vivek.
So Socrates, I think we were all, at least maybe I was deceived a little bit by Socrates. I, for some reason, thought he was one of our better players in the 18-19 season. This season has been an eye-opener, or maybe the second season syndrome, where he's clearly out of favor now. He doesn't play at centre-back for us anymore, not under Arteta at least. So he's one of those gritty players. He's commanding. He's good to have in the squad, but he is not the level of a centre-back that we would need at Arsenal. He has a year to go on his contract, I think, if not maybe two. But we should definitely look to sell. We've brought back Mustafi into the squad because Arteta deems Socrates not good enough for the style of play that he wants to instate at the club. So with Saliba back next season, Socrates is only going to fall further down the pecking order. So we should definitely look to sell him.
Moving on, fullbacks. I'll just have a quick word about Hector Bellerin. Again, injury. I mean, he has been rusty after he came back, and then another injury. He was playing through some sort of pain, so he's not been his usual self after that injury. Also, and this season again, I don't think it's fair enough to judge him. So, yeah, we will have to. I mean, he was also the captain under Emery on a few occasions, I believe. So. The club, at this moment, I don't think there is any interest on him from the other clubs as well, compared to, you know, previous seasons. So, yeah, I think we will have to see how he comes back next season when that happens and take a call.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hector Bellerin's a very curious case. I just wanted to chime in quickly. We had a lot of hopes from Bellerin right from the time he had his breakthrough season. He's unfortunately done his ACL. He's come back. I don't think he'll ever be as quick as he was. I think somehow Walcott is the only person who was ever quick, though he did his ACL. Somehow he was quick. So Bellerin, some of us may still have a lot of expectations from him, but I think that needs to be simmered. And I don't ever see him being as good as a player he was. In fact, I would urge that we need to upgrade on the right back position if we want to get back into the top four next season. He is
captain
definitely
material. No chance.
I think he's not captain material only because he will not feature regularly enough.
Yeah, I totally agree on that.
Okay, Vivek again, kind journey.
Tierney. So. A lot of hopes again. We bought him. He was supposed to be good. I even read a few articles that said he at one point was challenging Robertson for a place in the national team. This could have been the season. We were desperately in need of a first choice left back. he on the few occasions where he appeared in cup games, at least there was a lot of promises there. Groin hip injuries, hernia, and then a dislocated shoulder, not done him any favors. We should definitely keep him. He could be one for the future, but let's really, really hope that he's not one of those signings that has a lot of promise but never gets to play regularly enough because he's not physically there yet. So he's got a long break now. We don't know if the season's even going to come back on. So hopefully he gets a full, clear preseason and he comes back a lot stronger. And he could boost our left-sided bias. We love attacking from the left hand. Yeah, he could be one that could really help us on the left side.
Yeah, so he recently did a Reddit Ask Me Anything session where a quick interesting quote where he said, I didn't come to Arsenal to live in London. I came to London so that I could play for Arsenal. So, yeah, looking forward. Hope he recovers well from the injury. And, yeah, the left-hand side could use him. All right. So, staying with you, Vivek, Kolasinac.
If we had Monreal, I would say sell. But we chose to let Monreal go back. Kolasinac, he's never really going to be a left back. And if Arteta's plan is to stick to four at the back, I'm not entirely sure how much of a solid option he'd be. We've seen that Saka is more than capable of filling in there. But I'm one of those people that's very, very interested to see how Saka performs when he's played on the left wing. So I think this is a tough call to make. But if we get a handsome fee, I would say sell. If we're not going to get anything more than, let's say, 15 million, I think we should keep him just because he's all right as a second choice. He should not be the first choice. In fact, Saka would be over him. So, yeah, it depends on the fee, I would say.
All right. So, staying on Saka, Jomi, you want to talk about Bukayo Saka, breakthrough season, all that?
Yeah, as a fullback, right? Not as a winger. So, yeah, maybe the season's fine. Probably the best fullback for the team. He's done wonders for 18-year-old to do stuff that he's doing. It's awesome. But then we want to see that grow, right? I mean, we've seen promises from a lot of youngsters over the years. The good thing about him is his assists. He's scoring, which is good, and the assists are just mind blowing. So those crosses and all that stuff is all clicking. And right now, he is a player that seems to be at the right place at the right time. So hopefully that should continue. Definitely a 7 out of 10 players, or even an 8 out of 10, just for those last few performances. And he should definitely sign the contract and stay with us.
Yeah, hoping he does after all those good performances. All right, moving on. I don't know how you would categorize Ainsley Maitland-Niles as. So your thoughts on Maitland-Niles, Vinay?
I just had one, and I know, coincidentally, you chose a fullback again. I just had one line for Saka. We always need to wait for the second season. And remember, he's not played a full season this season also. So the physical demands of the Premier League, when you are tested and playing about 45, 50 games, I'm including the Premier League, and let's say he's going to play FA Cup and maybe even, I don't know, if he do qualify for the Europa in some way. So that's the one thing I worry about Saka, because it's too early and he's 18. We need to keep remembering we played a precocious talent called Jack Wilshere at 19, played 54 games, and he never again played an entire season. So we need to be careful about him. But Niles, sad that he has been played out of position quite frequently. But basically, he won't make it here. Irrespective, a lot of people say, if only you play him in the central midfield, he's a natural there. I don't think so. He's too casual. The moment about, let's say, 70 minutes of his game, and then the next 20 or the first 20 of the 90, you expect him to have that one moment of fancy footwork, and that's just not going to work. His concentration levels are not there. You play him a right back, you play him central midfield. He's just not going to make the cut at Arsenal. Somewhere else, I don't even think he can make a cut at the Premier League level itself. Maybe the Championship, yes. So I wish him well. Totally sell him. If we get any sort of fee, we are lucky.
Okay, that should do for the defenders part. Moving on, midfield, Danny Ceballos. Vivek, your thoughts?
So, Ceballos, I remember how elated Arsenal Twitter was after that sunny game against Burnley. We were all raving. We thought, oh my God, we may have just found Cazorla as a replacement. It didn't quite pan out the same way, unfortunately. Again, I think Ceballos is one of those players where we don't know what his best position is. I'm not sure he knows what his best position is. He's not a 10. He's not a number 8. He's definitely not a holding midfielder. Maybe a deep-lying playmaker. I'm not sure, but I don't think he has a long-range passes for that. Arteta seems to prefer him over Torreira simply because of his style of play. The only reason or the only sense it makes in retaining or rather signing on Ceballos on a permanent is if we get a good deal in the range of 15 to maybe 18 million max. I don't think Madrid are going to sell for that. The bare minimum they'll want is 30 million. So I would say we should let him go and keep our eyes out elsewhere for a midfielder that is quicker, stronger, and has a defined position.
All right, that is Danny Ceballos. I mean, if you ask me, Denny Suarez and Danny Ceballos now, I don't think it has quite worked out. So, yeah, I will go with what you mentioned. Since you mentioned Lucas Torreira, I'm going to talk a little bit about him. He definitely was, you know, having a nightmarish time under Emery, I would say. He does not, I mean, he could not, play like how Ramsey did. I mean, he was supposed to be played as a defending midfielder, and that is what he's good at. So, I mean, again, this season under Emery, you cannot judge him how he was. And I definitely think we keep him and see how it goes under Arteta.
I think I just had one thing on Torreira. I don't think so he will stay. And two, even under Arteta, I was also under the honest opinion that it could be an Emery thing. But he doesn't get played much, as Vivek rightly said. Ceballos gets preferred. So I don't see a future for Torreira. He is good, yeah. But I don't see a future for him at Arsenal. And he wants to move. It's fairly obvious.
So just one point, right? So the Emery thing is, it was very obvious that he keeps losing the ball. So that's maybe one reason for all that stops that he does. He loses the ball more often than he's supposed to. Uruguay, he can afford to do it because he loses the ball. There are 100 more people going to save your ass, right? So if that team plays like that. So we've seen him excel for the national team. We've taken him, expected the same for us. But like Vinay said, he could have changed under Arteta, but it doesn't look like. So I don't know if he will continue.
Yeah, so I mean, of course, after the World Cup or something, I mean, he definitely had other clubs interested in him, and maybe I'm not sure if there is still now. What is the price range he would command, and what would you sell him for if there's an offer?
I think Milan were interested. AC Milan were interested in Torreira, and if we get a price, Italian league is much slower compared to the Premier League. As Jomi rightly said, you get caught out of position in the Premier League, and you are found out. Italian league, you will be able to make it up. Either you have another defensive midfielder next to you, or you can still track back. So I think if he gets Italy, it's a win-win for both. Whatever price we get, we bought him for about 20, So we will not make those. We will probably cut costs and sell him for the best, highest bidder. So I think it's got to be the fact that the player doesn't want to stay here also. He doesn't look too interested.
All right. Cool. Vivek, your thoughts on Academy products, Rhys Nelson and Joe Willock?
Okay. I'm going to go the bat first. I personally have a soft spot for all Academy products, but I don't quite get the hype around Joe Willock. I've seen famous bloggers and folks on Twitter, the well-connected people at Arsenal rave about Willock and what he may or might bring to the table, but he hasn't. He's had a reasonable amount of starts this season. He was great in preseason, but he flattered to deceive 9 times out of 10, I think, during the season. I think we should retain him. A season out on loan would do him probably a world of good. But if we have any hopes of making the top four, we can't possibly have Joe Willock as part of the first squad. As for Rhys Nelson, I still feel there is some hope there. Arteta seems to have taken to him. He was preferred over Pepe a couple of times. He ran the Chelsea defense ragged in Arteta's first home game as well. I think he would be a good add to the first team squad. Not so much a first 11 player, but definitely someone who should regularly feature in Europa if we're still there next season, and a starter in every single cup game. I think there is some potential there that we can tap.
Yeah, so, there's always a constant comparison of how Raheem Sterling improved under Pep and Arteta. And there's this expectation that we would also see that with Rhys Nelson. Any chance?
No chance.
I mean, he was good for Liverpool before he went to City. So
exactly. Yeah.
So
very good for Liverpool.
I mean, he was up there, right? I mean, see, the minute we see a promise in a player, he doesn't become world class. Let him become an Arsenal level player, and then let's see whether he goes on to become a world class player. Nelson, you can sell him. Willock, I agree with Vivek. That boy needs to be passing a lot more. He's no longer a boy, but I think Saka and not Saka, sorry. If he passed a lot more, he would have got a lot more assists this season too. Unfortunately, he has a lot of confidence, which some people feel is a good thing for youngsters. But sometimes it can't be overconfidence of Willock. Maybe we can keep him, but Nelson, you can sell him.
All right. So, Jomi, I'll be there. I'll continue with you. Hey. Matteo Guendouzi.
Favorite. And once I'm done...
I'm waiting.
90% of the Arsenal fan club would want to kill me, right? So, let me start. Now, I like this uniqueness about Guendouzi, right? He brings a brand of chaos with him. And I like that. Sometimes it's an assist. Sometimes it's not. Now, what used to work on Emery is, irrespective of what he was doing, he used to get a start. And maybe for a 20-year-old, that was helpful. But with Arteta, he makes a mistake. I think he's been told that he's making mistakes. My only concern is I still do not know which is his position. I don't think he's a holding midfielder. If my guts of calling out how players would end up is, I don't think he will be a holding midfielder, full-fledged holding midfielder. He could stay back and control the midfield, but I don't think he'll be a holding midfield player. But let's see. I would definitely want him to stay with us. I get very excited seeing him. This season has been for a lot of wrong wrong reasons, a lot of mistakes, and I totally understand this. I think it also goes to do with the level of support that he gets. I think he was more like a stepson to Emery, but under Arteta, he has to show his class in training and those issues from Dubai training and other stuff, right? So if that's all true, then definitely he would have been asked to prove his worth before being put in the first team. But I think the guy is losing his patience. Maybe not good for a young kid, but I think the kids feel that he is very talented. Let's see. But definitely, I'll keep him.
Yeah, all right, cool. I think Vinay is interested
to
talk about him.
No, I almost agree to most things. We should do more podcasts. Me and Jomi seem to be agreeing a lot more. I just think there are too many mistakes. Just too many mistakes. And he's supposed to be the replacement for Ramsey. That's what was the hope, right?
I don't know.
I think Willock plays more... Ramsey replacement.
Going to Willock also, to just a word on that is, Willock reminds you of Jack, or the person who could deck the ball from defense and move it to attack. That's what he tries to do. And he's not half talented as Jack, let's be honest. But anyways, Guendouzi, again, the sad part is midfield mistakes are very, very... midfields and defense is very often found out. So Guendouzi's mistake is alarmingly highlighted because he plays at that position. He is the pivot. If Xhaka or Guendouzi make a mistake, then that is almost all catastrophic considering the defense we have. So would I give him another season? Yes, not a playing 11. I would honestly get a prize and sell him. But if that's the case, we have to sell almost everybody in the team. So yeah, squad player. But for all the training issues, as Jomi rightly said, Arteta is not going to sidestep those. He's already been made to realize where he is, his position is, his place is. Hence, he did not start. Almost hardly played under Arteta in the. So, I think his place has been shown to him. He needs to work hard if he wants to get back to playing.
All right, cool. So the verdict is out, I guess. Granit Xhaka, Jomi.
Very, very confused player for me when it comes to reviews, right? So I don't know if he has it to take the team forward. But the fact is, when he plays, we are most of the time on a winning side, at least not losing. So for some reason or the other, he's always needed. There are days when he makes mistakes. He's slow, and I think that's the only mistake that he has. I mean, there's nothing he can do about it, right? If he's slow, he can't. He's at his age where I don't think he's going to increase his pace. I mean, for 28 years old, I think he's 28. So for almost 28 years old, I think this is by far the... pace at which he was going to play for another 2-3 years. So maybe I think the pace puts him down, so that makes him end up doing all those horrendous mistakes just outside the box, free kicks for the opponents, which a lot of times do end up in goals. So maybe not just from the shots, but does give an opportunity for the opponents. But otherwise, he does start the creation of most of our goals too. So I honestly do not know whether he needs to stay, whether he needs to be sold. I still waiting for a captain who can lead the team on the pitch and off the pitch. So I don't think he is one. I don't think any of the players at Arsenal today can do it. I don't want to talk about those issues that we had early in the year. He's right in a lot of ways. He's wrong in a few. But from a playing perspective, I don't know. I mean, if someone else is going to come in, I don't think he's going to stay at Arsenal. So he might also look for a way out. Do we keep him? Depends upon if we get a replacement. Can we get replacements? Definitely. I don't know if anybody would come cheaper.
All right, fair enough. He has, you know, his share of mistakes, and that have always, you know, turned out to be costly. So yeah, confusing, like you said, but we'll see what happens. Vivek, Nicolas Pepe.
Okay, Pepe. So much hype, right, when we signed him. 75, 74 million are a record signing. I still think that there is a lot there that he could provide to the team. Arteta has, the only times he hasn't started him, I'm pretty sure, is because he wanted to teach him a lesson. He did not, or I'm guessing he does not want another situation wherein he has a supremely talented player that does not want to give it his all on the pitch. I know the argument is always that you don't see Ronaldo tracking back, but then Pepe is not Ronaldo. He has a long way to go there. So, I mean, that is exactly why Arteta, I'm sure, wants him to do everything that he expects of any player out on the pitch. He could be a superstar.
Now, do you think... you know, first season, all that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's never easy to adjust to the Premier League. And we were a team that was in dire straits under Emery for whatever reason, n number of reasons. Having said all that, I think he's done his bit sometimes. The free kicks, the goal versus United. He was excellent against United, at least the first half. So there's enough there. There's enough promise there to hope for a much better second season. The hope is that he becomes good enough for the likes of Barca and Madrid and Bayern to come for him. And the hope is that we're good enough that time to retain him. So we'll see.
Just a word on Pepe, Anjan. And I really like him to succeed. I really like him. I wish him the success. But people who may remember, what's the difference between Pepe and Gervinho? The forehead.
That's Pepe can score a goal.
Yeah, that's it. The forehead, and Gervinho used to miss tap-ins. Pepe hasn't. But honestly, that's exactly. Gervinho once was touted to be better than Hazard. There was a lot of things that Lille got. I mean, we got Gervinho cheap price. Lille, a lot of people who followed the French league said Gervinho is better than Hazard, and we all know where it ended in truth. I wish Pepe well. I really wish that he turns out to be exceptionally good, but I haven't seen something that he has set the world on fire. Please don't think that it's because of the price tag. Nowadays, everything is inflated, but Gervinho equals Pepe for me so far, except for the free kick and goals.
Okay, that is some claim. We hope to. I mean, I hope it's wrong next season.
So Gervinho, the problem was, he was good, right? He used to tackle, take the ball, friend, and then he used to take it back.
Yeah.
And I mean, he didn't know what to do after going friend, right? He did all the hard work, and then he didn't know. Pepe is somebody, it's a little different, right? I mean, he does all the hard work again, but then he stays doing all that hard work again in the box. He keeps moving up and down, or to the side, or to the left, to the right, up and down. He should be looking at that box. He should be scoring, right? So I still have hope for Pepe than Gervinho. I mean, Gervinho did give a hope at the beginning. I hope that's not the same hope for Pepe.
Mm.
Quick question. Would you guys have rather signed Zaha?
No, Pepe.
No. Yeah.
But not for that price, though. Not definitely. Price. Yeah, definitely he's not worth whatever. He's not even worth 40.
Yeah. I was going to say the only way we would have signed him is if he was 40, but yeah.
Zaha is simply because he's... I think if you were to have got the evaluation that way, Zaha would be more pricey than Pepe. Zaha is Premier League proven almost wherever he's played, from Palace to wherever he's been playing. But
They want 100 million for him, though.
Yeah, I think somebody mentioned in the previous podcast about Emery wanting him than Pepe. I think it made sense that Emery wanted him, more a direct player. But yeah, I think the price for Pepe is on the higher side based on one season. But yeah, I would have still got Pepe than Zaha. Rather, we don't need showboats.
All right, that is Nicolas Pepe. Staying with you, Vinay, the enigma, Mesut Ozil.
Well, you chose me deliberately on this, didn't you?
You know
I adore him. I mean, he is a joy to watch. For me, football, like in any sport for me, is what brings aesthetic pleasure in terms of watching the game. I know stats and all are there and all that. But when it's very pleasing on the eye, when you say, only he could do it, nobody else. Ozil will always be that for me. Even when I watch him with bias. Even the most simplest of pass, it will be like, only Mesut could do that, nobody else. But let's be honest, one assist the whole season, that's just not Mesut. He has become very safe. He tries to play the safety passes simply because everything gets crucified when it comes to Ozil. The reactions are over the top. Like, people who like him, like me, will find a good in everything he does. Whereas somebody who just just don't like him will say, what's the big deal in all that? That's anybody could do. Mesut is too safe this season. I think Arteta has installed a sense of, okay, you're going to play every game in him, but haven't seen much even with that. I think the legs are gone. He is going to go to MLS. We all know that. Will the call from Beckham or will the call from whoever from MLS will happen, because nobody is going to go to the Chinese market now anymore. So, yeah, MLS for Mesut. He will still have magical moments wherever he plays. And I think whatever anyone may say, I would still consider his stay with us as relatively successful. We did win once he moved in here. So, yeah, magical moments, and that's about it. So, verdict on him, we should sell him.
Yeah, I think the others will also be interested in weighing in.
He's like a luxury car, and we do not have a garage or a parking lot to keep the luxury car. And we park him up, we park the car on the street. So there's no point having those kind of players with no support. We need the support players. I mean, for all that Fabregas did, you always had a RVP2 in that team, and you had even other players, you know, the Nasri's, all those kind of players. Today, we have a lost team, and at times we all play well, but then those are rare occasions, right? From last season, that's what we've seen, or the season before last. And for Ozil, you really need a few other players, because you got to match what he's thinking. I mean, he's going to give you a pass, and you got to understand that the pass is coming from him. And if a player on his left or on his right does not even realize that he's going to give a pass, then what's the point in having him in the team? And as well, substitute him and get someone else who just keeps running up and down.
I think just one more thing on this, Anjan. Since it's Ozil, I can take a little bit more. If you were to just randomly ask anybody who were your, from the time Ozil joined us, who are Arsenal's best players during that time, you will know that you're going to have him, Cazorla and Alexis Sanchez as probably the most easiest picks. So you realize that Ozil needs those players. When he knows he has a Cazorla to get the ball out of difficult positions and pass it to him, it will always be a forward pass from Santi. Ozil knows that there is a runner in Alexis. I think he even thrived with Theo playing on the other's flank. And even Ramsey, for example. Ramsey would probably be among your top four or five who played from the time Ozil has. It's simply because he will not do it. He's not an individual player. He's not an individual brilliance who is going to win you games on his own. He is that who is going to be the cog. He's going to make sure that you just are going to get that perfect machine if everything fits in. Ozil is the cog. Ozil would need the other support system, as Jomi said. But without a Santi next to him, or without a runner like an Alexis in front of him, it's just not going to work. It's not the pace part we are talking about, because we have Aubameyang in that. But it's got to do with the understanding of the game. And that's where I think we just don't have those kind of players anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had one of his best seasons with Giroud up front. So, I mean, I think, look, I think he had good seasons in him. Maybe not anymore. But yeah, I mean, even I like him, adore him as a player, the way he operates in the midfield. I mean, if he is not able to operate at the same level, yeah, like, I don't think we should be parking the car. All right, so we'll move on. Strikers part, we have four players left. We'll review one each. I'll start with Eddie. We have brought him back, you know, cut short the loan. I don't know why. He could make use of some more loan spells. He is definitely not yet cut for the Premier League, at least. Or if he's continuing to stay with the squad, he could play the cup games and, you know, see where it goes. So, yeah, I think we should keep him. If at all he is going to play, it is in cup games. Or if we retain the strikers that we are going to discuss about, then I think he goes out on loan again. That brings us to Martinelli, Jomi.
You asked me because
I mean, yeah, I know he loves South
American players. No, not Brazilian. Okay, and he's one of those rare ones that make me like a player. And I always try to see a spark in a football player. I mean, or I try and see if that footballer gives me that spark, right? And then he is one of those players, right? I mean, it's not just the age, it's something about him. It's a live wire, okay? Now, no doubt that he is a Brazilian, so I don't know whether he will become one of the best out there, because everybody that's coming out of Brazil today, they've got 100 forwards playing all across the globe in all the big leagues, and everybody looks the same. So I'm not sure it's going to be the next big thing for Brazilian football, but he's definitely a good player. There's one issue that I had with Arteta, and that is he's not been playing him much. And ever since Eddie has been brought back, Eddie starts, at least the last few games Eddie was starting. I mean, I felt Martinelli should have been starting games much more. Something that I think he missed out because of Emery leaving. If somebody has missed out, or the two kids that have missed out, is one is Guendouzi and the other one is Martinelli for Emery leaving, because I've not seen Arteta using him much. But whenever he's used him, he's been still playing the same. So for his age and what he's done in the first year, I would rate him 8 out of 10. It's a little high rating, but I'm going to rate him 8 out of 10. And I hope that he gets even better.
Yeah, he does look you know, promising. And I think when Arteta played him in the Chelsea game, I think that was quite evident. Yeah, definitely. I think he will continue to stay. We'll see what happens. Right then, our two strikers, Alexander Lacazette, Vivek.
Okay. I think Lacazette has had an absolutely torrid season. Somehow he seems to have hit the lowest of lows. He's struggling for form, confidence. He seems to have lost his first touch. His hold-up play in the last few games weren't great either, which is probably why Nketiah was brought in. It's not like Nketiah was better than Lacazette, but I think we did that purely because we just needed a change up front, because what Lacazette seemed to be offering had gone stale. I think the time has come to cash in on Lacazette. I think it is safe to say that when you look back on this 5 years down the line, maybe even now, I would deem this signing a not a success. Maybe failure is too harsh a word. If there is an in-between between success and failure, that is Lacazette, in my opinion. If we would be lucky enough to even get 30 million for him, to be honest. I don't think his stock has risen at all in the market. It's very unfortunate, in my opinion. It should have been Aubameyang, who should have got Player of the Year as well last season. Golden Boot winner for Arsenal since RVP left. Come on, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Lacazette's a passionate player. Our fans love passionate players. And that's probably why he got the Player of the Season for Arsenal. So yeah, we should sell. If we get anything higher than 25 million, we should absolutely sell.
Yeah, so I will, just hold on to that selling part. We will finish Aubameyang and, talk about that. Vinay, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Before Aubameyang, just a couple of words on the two strikers. Nketiah, I think you were absolutely right. I don't know why we got him back from loan, and that too from Leeds. Leeds is the best place for anyone to go. You will get hardened. And Leeds are likely to come back to the Premier League next season, depending on how the promotions work. So I think one deal made no sense whatsoever. It was just a waste. I don't know, a couple of games he did score a goal also, I think. But that's that squad player for me. I still think that he is the more complete striker than Aubameyang for obvious reasons. His hold-up play and link-up play is better. We bought him close to 50 million. We'll be lucky if we get anywhere close. I think Atletico Madrid were looking at him again. And if we were to, with a heavy heart. But honestly, we'll have to let him go. Aubameyang, basically the reason that we are ninth. Else we could have been 15th. He has saved the season. There is no two ways about it. It's his goals. If you take out those goals, I think we would probably be looking behind and saying, how close are we to relegation? That's the honest truth. He's done it all. He's done everything that you could ask for a striker. He scores on his own. He's now captain. Everything. He's literally done everything from the time he's joined us. And I have told this to people at times that he is not your typical striker. He is your poacher. He is your fox in the box, whatever you call. But he has saved our season. Do I rate him? I mean, he's 10 on 10. What can I say? It's only because of his goals that we are where we are. Else, I honestly don't know. I don't want to even think where we would be. So he is the player of the season, man of the season, man of the match series, whatever you want to call. He has saved our season, simply put.
No, I'm not sure how. If I understand the concept of his goals saved the season. Yeah, of course it has. But that's the job of the striker, you know. Your striker scores goals, and you move up and down the table.
But then, if you were to compare that way, then Lacazette has had a shocker. You need a finisher. The most important way you can win a football game is if you score. So he is the only one who has been doing that for.
No, I agree. I definitely do agree. But yeah, I think there have been a lot of talks about both of our strikers being linked away. So there are offers for both of them, I'm talking about Lacazette and Aubameyang. If there are offers for both of them, and what do we do? Do we sell both, look for an alternative, sell both, play with what we have, or keep one and sell the other? And if yes, who is that? Pitch in your thoughts.
I don't think so. We have a choice. I think both will leave. One we may actually be okay to let go. Aubameyang is going to leave. There is no way he's going to stay. I really will be shocked if we are able to convince him with whatever it is. When you have Real Madrid or Barcelona type of clubs coming in and saying, would you want to play for us? It doesn't matter after that. It's over. So I think Aubameyang will leave. It's not in our control at all. Lacazette goes to the highest bidder. The problem, as I told in podcast one, was that we don't have strikers of repute who will join us. So it's very tough to get quality strikers. We have to look for the unknowns and hope they turn out to be great, because we cannot replace like for like. You cannot get 25, 30 goals like Aubameyang will. Next season also, he will get you that many goals. So we don't have a choice. Who can we retain? I don't think so. Either will be retained, because we just can't.
I mean, Aubameyang does bring in the goals. There's no second thoughts about it. He's the captain right now. Yeah, had those goals not gone in, we wouldn't have been ninth. All that is true, but I understand that we don't have the money to buy luxury, but I don't like a player like Benzema, but then what Benzema does is he gets you goals when you don't even think that there is a goal coming. And that's where Arsenal needs a player. I mean, Aubameyang, yes, does score because he gets a lot of chances. He does convert. He has a good conversion rate. He scores them. But then making something out of nothing, I would prefer forwards like that. And maybe that's something, that's some reason why I like Martinelli. He tries to create something out of nothing, and there's the promise. He's just a kid. We might be probably thinking a lot more than he needs credit for. But Aubameyang has proved it, so I expect him to be doing that every season. Do we need him? Yeah. We need him, but we definitely need someone else also in the team. So one of those two players need to be sold, and then we need to get someone who would take up Aubameyang's role or that forward position in the next couple of years. We need that transition. Otherwise, again, we're going to go into get into problems, because we need a proper transition between players, just like any job. I understand that this is football and not like jobs, but we need that transition to happen. We need that cooling period for a new player to settle down, to understand how the club is, to understand that feel of the players. And so he could be played very less while most of the games the pressure goes to the older ones, and then he can ease or get transitioned into that role. So hopefully Aubameyang does that for next season, and we get another player that will take up the role in 2 years' time. Lacazette can leave.
Yeah, that's a good summary. Vivek, your thoughts?
I mean, I love Aubameyang. I think he's underloved by our fan base. I think the proof is in the pudding. He's the only player since RVPS left, which was, I don't even know how many years ago that was, who's won a Golden Boot. And he's on the course to win another Golden Boot if the season would have ended. Except him.
It just shows you how bad Premier League is.
In terms of strikers?
In terms of strikers. I mean, we have beautiful names, but had Harry Kane been all right, not injured, I think he would have easily taken that.
He could have, but I think Kane is on the decline. I think he's done. Thank God he's done. I think his ankles are giving up on him now. But the thing with Aubameyang is, you put him in any league and he will still be in the top three strikers of that league. I don't see how he wouldn't be in the top three. He may not be the best in every single league, because you have the likes of Lewandowski, you have Benzema, you have whatnot elsewhere. But yeah, he would definitely make the top three, which is probably why the biggest clubs now want him. If there is any way in which we could retain him, that doesn't mean we pay him a ridiculous a wage of 500 or 400k per week. We should, because he's still got at least two good seasons in him. Even if he loses his pace, like Vinay pointed out, he is the ultimate fox in the box in the Premier League at the moment. He will get you those goals. He seems to have some kind of leadership qualities. I don't think he's captain material, personally speaking. Apart from that, he's been an absolutely fantastic sorry for us. It's a shame that it might come to a place wherein we cannot retain this player. Lacazette should go. Aubameyang should stay. But I think we're going to lose both and we're going to start afresh next season.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting to see how that dynamic turns out to be. Right, I think we're almost...
Just one thing, Anjan, before you wrap.
Yeah.
I would really, you should, next podcast or the coming ones maybe, you should really ask all of us, can you name, like, say, 5 replacements or 3 replacements for Aubameyang or Lacazette? I think we will be scratching our heads. I really can't make out. I really don't know. Tino Werner, I don't know. Names that are like just there, just thrown for the random reasoning for that. I really don't know. We won't get those quality strikers. Hence, replacement is going to be very tough. Maybe we could do it some other day, but I really, really, even when I think now, I can't think of replacements to Aubameyang. Who will come and join Arsenal? That's the main thing.
Yeah, I think there's a dearth of world-class strikers in the world at the moment, at least in the age of 22 to 28 for sure. They're either all over the peak or, well, we have few promises like Martinelli around.
But I'll take Luis Suarez, you into.
Yeah, if only, let's not even go. Maybe we should do that podcast next, the if only podcast.
Yeah, we should. That would be great.
Yeah, so many if onlys.
Not the likes of Thomas Lemar and that other dude, right? I mean, all those Atletico Madrid rejects. No. Yeah, not those ones.
Yeah, we have a long list. If only Danielson was the next Xavi, imagine that. We have.
All right. So we have left out a couple of players, but I don't think there's much to talk about. Cedric Suarez. I mean, he's not even played yet, and Pablo Mari. One or two games. I mean, he's somewhat similar to what Per Mertesacker was. Is the verdict out there? But yeah, I mean, no judgments as of now. It'll be reserved for next season, I believe. I'm not sure whether we're going to extend the loan or sign them. I'm not sure. So that is that. Quick review of the squad players. I think we've covered almost everyone. So if we've missed out, I'm sorry, guys. Righto, then I think it's time to wrap up. Thank you guys for joining. The message remains the same. Stay home, stay safe. Maybe when all this is over, we will do a podcast outside our homes.
Yeah, in person. For a while.
Yeah, maybe a video podcast too.
All right, so a quick info. We have been talking to our friends, Arsenal Bangalore footies, who play on the weekends, who used to play before all the lockdown and stuff. So we may have an episode. So do continue listening to our podcast. Thank you guys for joining. This is Anjan signing off. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Please search Arsenal Bangalore on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And follow our official handles for all the updates.